Tonight, God's Word comes to us from 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings 18. We're going to begin our reading at verse 1 and then read through verse 16. Our focus tonight is going to be on verse 7 through 16. First Kings chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. What we hear now is God's Word. After many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go, show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." So Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, who was over the household. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. And when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by fifties in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said to Obadiah, "Go through the land to all the springs of water and to all the valleys. Perhaps we may find grass and save the horses and mules alive and not lose some of the animals." So they divided the land between them to pass through it. Ahab went in one direction by himself, and Obadiah went another direction by himself. And as Obadiah was on the way, behold, Elijah met him. And Obadiah recognized him and fell on his face and said, "Is it you, my lord Elijah?" And he answered him, "It is I. Go, tell your lord, behold, Elijah is here." And he said, "How have I sinned that you would give your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me? As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my Lord has not sent to seek you." And when they would say, "He is not here," he would take an oath of the kingdom or nation that they had not found you. And now you say, "Go, tell the Lord, behold, Elijah is here." And as soon as I have gone from you, the Spirit of the Lord will carry you I know not where. And so when I come and tell Ahab and he cannot find you, he will kill me, although I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth. Has it not been told, my Lord, what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by fifties in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now you say, 'Go tell your Lord, behold, Elijah is here,' and he will kill me." And Elijah said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself to him today." So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, tonight we continue to look at the life of the prophet Elijah and the fact that God was bringing his word back to his people. We talked last time about how in the beginning of chapter 18, this is an evidence of the grace of God. Because they had not repented, they had not turned, but God would be gracious to them and return and bring his word back into their midst. And now in chapter 18, we are leading up to that probably most famous story of Elijah, the confrontation on Mount Carmel. And as we continue to move toward that story, we see Elijah coming in contact with two different men. I have to confess, I was hoping tonight to actually cover both those contacts, his contact with Obadiah and his contact with Ahab. But as this sermon grew and grew and grew, I thought it better perhaps we spend a little time with each of those encounters rather than doing it all in one night. So tonight we're talking about Elijah meets Obadiah, and next Sunday, Lord willing, we'll talk about Elijah meeting up with Ahab. Because we see in this encounter God continuing to do things for the blessing of his people, to encourage them, to challenge them, to warn them, but ultimately that God would fulfill his purposes in the life of his people. It's not primarily a story about two men, but about what God is doing through and in the lives of these men. This meeting of Obadiah and Elijah is a meeting orchestrated by God himself. Obadiah has been sent to wander through the land to look to see if there might be any springs of water, any valleys. The king goes one way, Obadiah goes the other way. And in God's good providence, Elijah comes and encounters Obadiah. Obadiah went on his way, and behold, Elijah met him. And Obadiah recognized him and fell on his face. A meeting between these two men, orchestrated by God himself. And it might be easy for us to focus too much on what this meeting might mean for them. After all, it'd be a wonderful thing for both of them. Think about Elijah. Elijah has been away from the people of God. Elijah has been first on the other side of the Jordan by the brook, and then he's been out of the land in Zarephath. And now he comes back into the land of God's people, and the first person he meets is Obadiah. What an encouragement to him that he would once again have the fellowship of a true believer. What an encouragement for Obadiah. This one who works in the king's court, this one who is surrounded by paganism, and as he is off going through the land at the king's command, behold, Elijah is there, the prophet of the Lord. What a wonderful encouragement that would have been for him. But as I said, the story is not primarily about Elijah and Obadiah, but about what God was doing in and through them. It is a meeting between the prophet of God and the servant of God. Not just two men who happen to greet each other, two believers who find each other, but the prophet of God giving a message to the servant of God. God comes and through the mouth of his prophet gives a command to his servant. Remember, Elijah means, my God is Yahweh, and Obadiah, the servant of God. Now, my God is Yahweh speaks to the servant and gives him instruction. He said to him, verse 8, it is I, go tell your Lord, behold, Elijah is here. It's a fairly simple message to understand. Go and tell your Lord, go and tell the king, behold, Elijah is here. And the fact that Elijah was there, back in the land, was good news. It was great news. Remember how this series began back in chapter 17. Elijah goes and speaks to the king and he says, there shall be neither dew nor rain except at my word. And then God takes him away. And the word is taken outside the land. And he is gone for 3 years. And now, behold, Elijah is back. The word of the Lord has returned to the land. That word that can bring life. That word that can send the rains. It was good news that Elijah is here. Obadiah didn't see it as good news. We will see next time, Lord willing, that Ahab did not see it as good news either. But nevertheless, it was good news. Obadiah is tasked with the wonderful opportunity to bring this message of hope. Elijah is here. The one who can bring life back. The one who can have the rains fall. The one who can make everything grow again. God's word is returning to his people. Elijah is here is good news. Sometimes today, it seems to me, when we think about bringing the good news of the gospel, we almost treat it as if it's bad news. We don't want to have to tell someone bad news. We don't want to have to do that. But so often, we almost treat the sharing of the gospel as if this would be a hurtful message, a harmful message. But the fact that God came in his Son, Jesus Christ, Jesus is here, is good news. It's the word of life. It's the word of hope. It's the only word anyone can have any hope in. That Jesus Christ came, as we said this morning, as that God-man, to truly save his people and rule as Lord of their lives. The gospel's not bad news. Not something we should be afraid to share with others. It is good news. Now, it is true, in sharing the gospel, we are often called to confront men and women with their sin. and no one wants to be reminded of their sin. But that's preparation for the gospel. That's preparation for the glorious news of new life and new hope. I know that there are those churches, perhaps, that seem to think that the confrontation with sin is all we need to bring. You will hear messages where we're going on and on saying how terrible man is, how awful man is, how sinful man is, and we never get to the gospel. The gospel is not that we are sinners. The gospel is Jesus Christ saves sinners. That's what makes it good news. To be sure, we must acknowledge our fallenness. We must acknowledge our brokenness. But we have the privilege of bringing the message of life. The Word of God is not intended to make us feel badly about ourselves, but it is to make us glory in God. In what he has done. Elijah, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, the true prophet, is here, and he brings life to his people. That was the command. Go bring this good news. How does Obadiah respond? Somewhat surprisingly, I suppose, verse 9, and he said, "How have I sinned that you would give your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me?" Obadiah does not think this is good news. He does not want to deliver this message. And I would suggest Obadiah is afraid to bring this message. Really afraid of two things. First of all, Obadiah is afraid of the consequences of the message. He's afraid that the king will kill him. "Why would you give me into the hand of your servant to kill me?" Three times he says that. Again, verse 12, "And so when I come and tell Ahab and he cannot find you, he will kill me." And finally you say, "Go and tell your Lord Elijah is here and he will kill me." He's afraid of the consequences. That if he brings this message, it will mean his death. Now that might surprise us. In light of who we're talking about, we are talking about Obadiah, the one who we are told twice in this short text that he hid 100 prophets of the Lord in caves, and he provided for them. He gave them food. He gave them water. This servant of the Lord now responds with fear of the consequences of his actions. It's true. He had taken care of the prophets in Israel. But what he had done in secret. I guess by the very nature of the action, it had to be in secret. Oh yes, he had done God's work, but he had done it quietly, privately, in secrecy. Now he is called to publicly declare that Elijah is here. The word of God is once again present in the land. And in doing so, to enter into what will be the conflict between Ahab and Elijah. He's called to take sides and say publicly, "Elijah is here. The word of God is present." Perhaps we don't want to share the glorious truth of the gospel because we're afraid of the consequences. Oh, it's fine. It's fine to serve God privately in our own homes when we're surrounded by our family. It's fine to honor God there. Perhaps we might even say, oh, it's fine to gather with the people of God, to be in church where we're all here together and we sing God's praises with voices raised. But what about entering the public arena and declaring the truth of the Word of God when we're not in such comfortable surroundings, when we're not surrounded by those who think the same way we do? I think of that so much, particularly for the college students, as I reflect upon my life and my time in college. You know, when you're at home and mom and dad are there, it's relatively easy to acknowledge the rule of Christ in your life, but then you go off to college and you are in many ways on your own. And you have to make the decisions of what you will do, of where you will go. And mom and dad aren't there to keep their eyes on you. And that is but a foretaste of what will happen later when you go out and get a job and perhaps you're not surrounded by a Christian community. Perhaps it's a pagan place. How will you respond? Will you retreat to a secret Christianity? Or will you publicly declare that you love the Lord? Obadiah is being called really to step up at this point. Oh, it's wonderful. He was privately serving God. Now he's called to publicly declare, Elijah is here. The word of the Lord is back. I suggest he was afraid of the consequences of that action. And he was afraid, secondly, of being disappointed by God. He was afraid of being disappointed by God. What do we read here? As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my Lord has not sent to seek you. And when they would say, he is not here, he would take an oath of the kingdom or nation and that they had not found you. And now you say, go tell your Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And as soon as I have gone from you, the Spirit of the Lord will carry you, I know not where. And so when I come and tell Ahab and he cannot find you, he will kill you. He will kill me. He is afraid that God's Spirit might take the prophet away again. After all, that's what happened in chapter 17. Elijah appears on the scene, declares the word of the Lord, and then he's gone. And Obadiah is afraid that maybe the same thing will happen. He'll go say, Elijah is here, and then Elijah will disappear. He is afraid that God might not follow through on his word. Elijah returned to the land at the word of the Lord. He speaks to Obadiah and he talks to him the word of the Lord. And Obadiah is afraid that maybe that word of the Lord isn't really true. Oh, we read here. He says, have you not heard? Have you not heard that I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth? Has it not been told to you what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord, how I hid those hundreds and fifties and fed them with bread and water? Obadiah had been someone who perhaps from his youth had known the Lord, had even acted on behalf of the Lord in saving these prophets. But had he ever really trusted the Lord and put his faith in the Word of God? He's afraid God will disappoint him, that God's Word will not be true. That God has said one thing and then something else is going to happen. And maybe that's what keeps us from sharing the truth of the gospel. That we perhaps think God's word will disappoint us. That we will go to someone and declare to them the truth of who God is, what he has done in Jesus Christ, and they will not accept this glorious truth. And we'll feel as if God has disappointed us. If they don't become a believer. I remind you, it has never been our job to make anyone a believer. That is God's work. He's the only one that can do that work. It is our job to go out and tell the truth that we know, trusting that each and everyone whom God has chosen will come to faith. If the person that we share the gospel with doesn't believe, that is not our fault. That is God's inscrutable providence. Some have suggested that the fact that we believe in God's sovereignty is an impediment to our evangelism. It's an impediment to believe that God has those chosen whom he will save, and it makes this evangelism very difficult or even unnecessary. But the exact opposite is true. It is only because of God's sovereignty that we can have any hope in evangelism. If the choice of salvation is left up to man's sovereignty, no one will be saved. Because man will never make the choice for God. Fallen man never seeks after him. But God says, I have my people. I have my chosen, and they will come to faith. And God in His goodness allows us to be part of that process, to publicly share this glorious truth. And we can know that His word is true, that He will bring each and every one of His elect to faith in Him. God continues that ongoing work, and His word is absolutely reliable. Obadiah was afraid. Afraid of the consequences that he might be killed, afraid of God disappointing him. And so Elijah assures him. Elijah assures him when he says in verse 15, Elijah said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself to him today." Elijah once again comes with this ever trustworthy word of God and says, as the Lord lives, I can guarantee you that I will certainly see Ahab today. This reminds us the proper way to view this passage, the proper way to view God's work in history. Who's in control of the encounter? Ahab, the king, is going to meet Elijah. But Elijah is the one who says, I'm going to make sure this happens. The word of God says this will take place. Ahab is not in control. It is the word of the Lord through the prophet that is true. And God comes and assures Obadiah through that word that he is absolutely trustworthy. The divine word can be heard and understood and trusted. That was the whole point of chapter 17. The word of the Lord in the mouth of the prophet is true. Because you see, Obadiah misunderstands the way in which God works. He misunderstands the surety of that divine word. When he says, you know, maybe I'm going to do this and say, behold, Elijah is here, and then the Spirit of the Lord will carry you away, I know not where. Obadiah is afraid that the Word of God and the Spirit of God will somehow work in contrary ways. That the Word will say one thing and the Spirit will do something else. But God's Word and Spirit are never in conflict with each other, but they always work in concert with each other. The Word of God is the tool of the Holy Spirit. He works through that Word, not apart from it. So we can't say, look, the Word of God tells me to do this, but the Spirit of God tells me to do something different. Word and Spirit are perfectly blended together. We talked in catechism class this morning about the tools of the Holy Spirit, one of them being the preaching of the Word to produce faith in the hearts of the people. And I told my catechumens, if you have a friend who is not a believer, and you want them to hear the gospel, you want them to be saved, then bring them to church. This is where the Spirit works. This is His workshop, through the preaching of the Word, and He works in concert with that Word to bring people to faith and repentance. That's the call that goes out again tonight. That if you have not bowed the knee to King Jesus, if you have not acknowledged your sin and trusted in Him for salvation, then may the Spirit of God work in you this evening, that you might see the glories of Jesus Christ, the glories of the Word of God, the one who does come and bring life to His people. God's Spirit works through the Word, in concert with the Word, never in contrast with it. And we can trust that. We can trust the Word of the Lord is true. As the Lord of hosts lives. It's the first time that particular phrase, Lord of hosts, occurs in the Scripture here in 1 Kings. Elijah is reminding Obadiah of the power of God, the power over all things. He is the Lord of hosts, the hosts of heaven, the hosts of the earth. He is the all-powerful God who will stand by His word. I will surely show myself to Him today. The word of the Lord is right and true and trustworthy. God through His Word, continues to call His servants to trust in that Word. To trust in that Word for our own salvation, that God will be faithful to His promises, that to all who turn to Him, He will give them the glories of eternal life. To trust in that Word, as we are called as servants of God, to go out with that Word, to share that Word, not only privately in our homes, but publicly with those outside of our homes. We have every reason to be confident as we go out and share the Word of God, because it is His very Word. The Lord of hosts has given us His faithful promises, which are ever true. Oh, that God might use us, encourage us, strengthen us to take this glorious Word that we hold so dear and bring this Word with confidence to a world around us, a world hurting, a world in darkness, a world in need of the message, Christ is here. Jesus has come to save His fallen people. Oh, that God might encourage us tonight to have that type of faith to declare His Word. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we confess the perfections of Your Word. It is right, it is true, it is trustworthy. It will always lead those by the power of Your Spirit to see Jesus Christ. Forgive us, O God, if we have lost confidence in that Word. If we are afraid of the consequences, should we publicly declare Your Word to those around us? If we are concerned about You disappointing us, well, Lord God, we recognize our weakness and frailty, but we ask that You might strengthen us by Your Holy Spirit to take our trust and confidence and to translate it into a glorious living message to those around us, a message of hope, a message of comfort, a message of life, that You might help us to live in such a way that even our actions along with our words point to You, the God who is always faithful. Hear our prayer, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.